Turn in your Bibles, if you would, please, to the book of James, the book of James, chapter 1, James, chapter 1. Just a thrill, as I said, for us to get to be here. And I love your pastor. Heaven has sure gotten sweeter as this precious man's wife went home to be with the Lord. And boy, what a thrill. How many of you understand, every one of us is on the way. This world is not our home, we're just a passing through. We need to realize this home is just a vapor, the Bible says, here and then gone. What a thrill to know where that dear precious lady is. I want to talk to you about the most dangerous thing you have in your life if you're a child of God. How many of you here know the Lord is your personal Savior? Hold your hand up. Well, then I want to talk to you about the most dangerous thing you possess. You say, well, what do you think the most dangerous thing is that I have? Well, the Bible's very clear. The most dangerous thing that you have weighs about 4.5 to 6 ounces. It's called your tongue. And God says your tongue is unspeakably evil. Now, that wasn't addressed to the world. That wasn't addressed to some profane drunk. That wasn't addressed to some reprobate somewhere. That statement was addressed to God's people. And God says, if you don't do something to get that tongue under control, it will destroy everything. And then he says, and if you do get it under control, then it can control everything else. The tongue is the most important thing that we have to be sure we get it taken care of. Look at what God's warning was in James chapter 1. We're going to start reading, if you would please, at verse 26. And every time you read the book of James, remember this was written by the Savior's half-brother. He would have grown up in the home with Jesus. He would have seen Jesus as a teenager. And we know next to almost nothing about Jesus as a teenager from scriptures. But James knew every bit of it. And I've often teased, I said, I can just hear Mary, the mother of Jesus, and James saying, why can't you be like your brother Jesus? When he talked to James, because Jesus was perfect. Well, here he is. And these Christians that he's addressing now, James, are people under extreme persecution. If you look at verse 1, they were a people who were scattered because of persecution. But they stood true. But then you come down to verse 26. He says, if any man among you seem to be religious. Now, underline that in your scriptures. This is a problem. The greatest acts are not found on some Hollywood sound stage or on a theater stage in New York. The greatest acts of pretend are found in churches, where we go to church and act like we got it together better than we have it together. Have you ever gone to church and you acted like your prayer life that week was everything it should be? And yet the truth is you and the Lord know that you prayed very little. Or you witnessed like we ought to have witnessed. And yet the truth is we witnessed very, very little. Did you ever come in and act like, boy, I was what I should be? When it comes time to say amen, we're quick to say amen. But the truth is it's an act. And it's an act that we're good to put on. I tell the story of my wife and I. We were going to preach at a church on Wednesday night, I was. And our motorhome was parked down at the base of their parking lot, and I had a federal judge on the phone handling a case. And I told him I got to be in church at 7 o'clock. He said, no problem, I'll have you out at 6:30. Well, the hearing just went on and on and on. And pretty soon my wife came to me, and she said, honey, it's 6:30. And I said, I know, I can't get off the phone yet. Then it got to be quarter of, and she said, the parking lot's filling up. I said, I know. Then it got to be just a few minutes of, and she said, honey, they're really all flocking in. You got to get in. I said, I know. Then we could hear them singing. And she said, honey, they're singing. I said, I know. Well, the judge went on for another 10 or 15 minutes. Finally, when I hung up with the judge, I turned to my wife. I said, come on, hurry up. You're making us late. Hurry up. We got to get in there. I mean, if you don't understand, when we get frustrated, blaming our wives is the easiest thing to do. Terrible thing. Now, to get out of that motorhome, You had to walk down a couple of steps that folded out, and they were kind of wiggly. They creaked a little bit, and I folded the steps out, and I'm helping her down the steps. She had to go slow, and I said, come on, hurry up, you're making us late, you're making us late. She said, well, honey, you go ahead, run in, run in, run in. I said, no, no, it won't look good if I walk in without you. Did you hear that? It won't look good if I walk in without you. That's the act. Boy, we're all guilty of this. And we can fool one another. Some of you can even fool the preacher. Probably not as many as you think, but nobody fools God. If any man among you seem to be religious. I knew the usher that was at the door of this church. He said, oh, Brother Gibbs, good to see you. I said, oh, yeah, good to see you too. I went up to sit on the platform with the pastor, and the Lord started speaking to my heart, and he said, you just treated Gloria Ann, your precious wife, like dirt. Now I suppose you want me to help you. I said, yeah, that's pretty much what I had in mind. Where do we get off thinking we can pull this act off? If anybody's going to go anywhere with God, we got to get honest with the Lord. Now, this is not condemning you, but this is sure condemning me. If any man among you seem to be religious, then God gives you the key. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. But you're still heaven bound by the faithfulness of the grace of God. But your faith is vain. And the word vain there found in Scripture was the word for something not worth having. Something that was worthless. Something that wasn't worth possessing. If the Lord was here this morning in a form we could see, and if we said, Lord, walk the aisles and show us here the believers that have a faith not worth having, what would happen when he came to you? What would happen when he came to me? Oh, we're heaven bound by the faithfulness of what happened when Jesus saved us. But now, are we an act? He says, if you don't have that tongue bridled, that's all we are, is just an act. Well, Brother Gibbs, I got to get this tongue under control. Well, go to chapter 3. I want you to see two things in chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 8. I'm going to just try harder and get my tongue under control. Well, God says you can't. But the tongue can no man tame. It's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Start at verse 6, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. Now, this is God talking about the tongue of David Gibbs. This is God talking about your tongue. Mercy. God says you can't control it. But he said, if you can get it under control, look at verse 2 of chapter 3. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. People come to me all the time and say, I'm struggling with this sin. What do I have to do to get this sin under control? I tell them, you got to bridle your tongue. They'll say, no, 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 my tongue is not the problem. No, your tongue is the problem. The Bible says if you can bridle your tongue, you can bridle the whole body. But it starts with the tongue. I'll go back again to chapter 2. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. There's only two kinds of Christians here this morning, those that have their tongues bridled and those that don't. And do you have a bridle of God on your tongue? Remember, you can't control it. The tongue can no man tame. But is there a holy bridle from the Holy Spirit of God controlling your tongue? Those of you who know me know I grew up on cattle feedlots. We were in the cattle business. And I don't ever remember learning to ride a horse. We just always did it. You grow up as a baby sitting on a horse and you don't think twice about it. But there's one thing I can tell you. When we'd go to bridle those horses, if there's any horse people here, they will tell you, horses do not want to be bridled. The minute a horse sees a bridle, they take off for the back of the pasture because they lose control and they don't want to lose control. When that horse sees that bridle in your hand, he's gone, because with that bridle, you control him. Without that bridle, he's in control. And so we would feed him up and keep him in a stall so we could bridle him. Boy, the minute you'd walk in that stall with that bridle, they'd put their head in the far corner. And then trying to get them to open, there's a spot behind their teeth where you can slip your fingers in a horse. And we'd pull on that and try to get them so that we could slip that in. And we'd kind of bait them. We'd put some honey, some sugar, some salt on that bridle. And the minute their tongue would reach out, we'd slip it right back. Because in order to control the horse, you got to bridle them. God says, I want to bridle you. I want you to let my Holy Spirit bridle you. Now, the problem with the horse, the minute you bridle him, he wants the bridle gone. And that's what this word is here. Bridleth not his tongue. It's written in the continuum. This isn't something you do once. For the Galantine, this is something David Gibbs has to do every day. Through the day. Is my tongue bridled? Was your tongue bridled yesterday? Is your tongue bridled this morning? Is the Holy Spirit controlling my tongue? God says, without it, my faith is vain, literally not worth having. Doesn't matter where I go. The world doesn't want to hear about your Jesus if you can't control your tongue. Because they understand what it is to have an uncontrolled tongue. But we have something they don't, and that's the Holy Spirit of God. God says, I will control your tongue, but you got to be willing to have it bridled. Yeah, but Brother Gibbs, my tongue isn't that bad. That's not what the Bible says. It says it's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. I wonder who the sweetest lady here is. I wonder who the nicest man is. Your tongue is full of deadly poison. And God says it will ruin everything. He says, out of the same mouth you bless people, you curse people. And that tongue has to have a bridle put on it. Now, he gives us three keys to see if we have a bridled tongue. And I want you to write these three keys down, because it doesn't matter where I go. I see unbridled tongues. By the way, I don't care which news outlet you watch. There's not a news outlet that has a bridled tongue. They want to say whatever they want to say. And then in the name of free speech, they want to say more of what all they want to say. The bottom line, God says, stop it. I want you to let me control your tongue, but you have to bring your tongue and get it bridled. Three keys to a bridled tongue. Number one, here you go. Number one, if you've got a bridled tongue, it'll stop unkind words. It'll stop unkind words. The Bible says, let your speech be always with grace. I wonder if you can say last week, not one ungracious comment was made. Every word I said last week was gracious. That's what the Bible says. Let your speech be always with grace. Mom, how many of you have children? Hold your hand up, would you? How many of you know kids are God's little spies? How many of you are aware of that? They are. Super spies on grandparents. And here's the problem. They're listening to your tongue. Would grandma ever say something that was not gracious? Would mom ever say something not gracious? Would dad say, you'd say, no, that'd be a sin. That's right, that would be a sin. Because there's not to be one ungracious word. Let your speech be always with grace. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Every bit of it is to be gracious. None of it is to be corrupt. Was that you last week? The Apostle Paul said, I'm worried when I come to see you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20, that I'm going to find some stuff going on in the church that shouldn't be going on. And he said, the worst thing that you're going to have going on is debates. Debates, that's the word that he used. You know what debates are? I know a lot about debates. Going through college, going through high school, I was on all the debate teams, and we won the nationals, the states, and the internationals. And I can tell you the keen rule for winning a debate. Don't you ever forget this. You want to win a debate, here's what you do. You got to make the other guy look stupid and you look bright. My job is to make you look bad and me look good. My job is to build me up and tear you down. That's debates. That's scripturally forbidden. Paul said, I'm worried when I come, I'm going to find debates where you're trying to hurt other people by building yourself up. And he says, stop it. Stop it. Yeah, but Brother Gibbs, these people aggravate me. And it's so convenient to have control of your tongue. I mean, we just give them a whiplash in with our tongue. I understand that. I've heard people say I was at a loss for words. I've never been at a loss for words. I just stand up and the words are there. And that's you too. God says, stop it. I want absolutely Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, let your speech be always with grace, no corrupt communication, and no debates. When's the last time you said not one unkind word's coming out of my mouth today? Not one. God put a bridle on my tongue. Now, you can't do it. The tongue can no man tame. You can do it. Oh, Brother Gibbs, you don't know my mother-in-law. You don't know my boss. You don't know what I'm putting up with. You're right, I don't, but it don't matter. Because by the bridle, the power of the Holy Spirit of God, you can fulfill every bit of this. Can I give you a warning? We're not going to change America till we change ourselves. Well, I just love watching the news and listening to them tear into these people and say all this stuff, and I just sit there and say, amen, amen. Stop it. That's an unbridled tongue you're listening to. That says, I want you with grace. That's your standard. No unkind words about or to others. Write number two down. Number two, if you got a bridled tongue, number one, your words will be kind. Number two, you'll stop griping and complaining. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. You understand griping is a wicked sin forbidden by God? A wicked sin. The Israelites were not overthrown in the wilderness by their enemies. They were overthrown in the wilderness by God because of their griping. God said, if you gripe, I'm going to punish you for griping. Stop it. Absolutely no murmuring. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. When's the last time you said, I'm going to give God thanks for everything today? The things I like, the things I don't like. Yeah, but Brother Gibbs, watching the news, I'm supposed to give thanks in everything? That's the command. Yeah, but look at all the bad stuff. I saw something the other day that touched my heart deeply. It was a pastor, a Ukrainian pastor, who was there in the city just getting blown to pieces. They said, why didn't you leave? You could have gotten out of here. Well, he said, my people need me now more than ever. And then they said, what are you doing for your people? He said, I'm teaching them to give thanks. The newscaster said, you're what? If people were raining bombs down on us, people were dying everywhere and our lives were hanging with real threads of threat, would you give thanks? Remember, the Bible says that when God's people went for tremendous torment for the faith, they died giving thanks. That's a bridle tongue. You want to know how good a Christian you are, how good I am? What does it take to make us not give thanks? That's all the better we are. God says that tongue is a dangerous thing. Number one, we're not going to say unkind things. Number two, we're not going to gripe. We're not going to complain. We're not going to murmur. Well, I don't exactly gripe, Brother Gibbs. I'm just astute at commenting on events. Oh, you're griping. You're griping and you're good at it. And God says, stop it. Stop it. Mom says to the kids, well, how many times I have to tell you to stop it? Well, how many times I tell you, you got to be in the car if we're going to be on time? And Dad's griping. He's murmuring. Bottom line is, get that tongue bridled. It will absolutely stop unkind words, and it will stop griping, and it'll stop complaining. We were watching and listening to a newscast, and they were saying something. I said, man, I agree with that. My granddaughter was there, and she said, are you griping, Grandpa? That's a fair question. Are you griping? That's a sin. Now, would you write this down? God would rather you cussed than gripe. There's more prohibition in the Bible against complaining than there is against profanity. Now, don't walk out here and say, I think Brother Gibbs said we can cuss. I didn't say that. Cussing is a sin. Griping is a very more serious sin. Because we've gotten to the place where we don't think it's a sin anymore. We're just comfortable doing it. I've not counted them up, but very, very conservative Bible scholars that I trust have. Every time you gripe, you commit over 130 different sins. Every time. I mean, you know some. Rejoice, there went that one. Again, I say rejoice, there went that one. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, faith, hope. There went all of those, boom, 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 boom. Every time we gripe, 130 different sins. That's why the devil applauds when we complain. Yeah, but Brother Gibbs, I figured out a way around it. I don't say it, I just think it. And then I let my face do the talking. How many of you understand what I just said, right? Now, ladies, can I just say this? Please be careful. Women are so good at telegraphing words with their faces. A woman can put a look on her face you can see at 1,000 yards in the dead of night. And I didn't say anything. Oh, no, you did. You were talking big time. And God says, now, men would love to do it, but they're just not as gifted at it. Women can do it. Stop it. Stop it. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Before it came out here, it was down here. And God listened to every bit of it. Get that tongue bridled. Number one, you got to stop the unkind words, the debates. Number two, you got to stop the cutting things, the debates and the griping and the complaining. Then number three, and we're done. If you've got a bridled tongue, you'll praise with all your heart. There's nothing more deceptive than half-hearted praise. I wish you could sit on the platform and watch people sing. Choir members get to do it. Some, your pastor gets to do it all the time. It's amazing how you can tell where people's hearts are by how they sing. There's people, now bear in mind, we're not singing for each other. We're singing to the Lord. And by the way, it's something you're going to do for all eternity. You understand, there's a whole bunch of things that we can do here that we won't do in heaven. A dear friend of mine wrote a book called The One Thing You Can't Do in Heaven. It's a great book. You know what the one thing is you can't do in heaven is win anybody to Christ. You can only do that here. And then when you're there, that's done. That's done. But you're going to sing for all eternity, Brother Galantine. We're going to sing praises to him. So we're not singing for each other. We're singing for the Lord. And the Bible commands us to do it with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, all our strength. It's a sin to sing half-hearted. If you never got to sing again, could you say, boy, did you hear me that Sunday morning? Did you hear how I praised you, Lord? Psalm 135:1, praise ye the Lord. The word praise there was this effusion of praise that overwhelms us, and we want it to overwhelm others. That's the word used there. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, the sacrifice of praise. Psalm 22, God inhabits the praise of his people. You want to get God in something? Start praising him. Did you sing with all your heart? Now, people with talent can cover it up a little bit. But this precious lady, boy, that song blessed my heart. I don't believe she just sang that with talent, and she's talented. She sang that with heart. And did you this morning sing with heart? Was the tongue bridled so that it sang with wholehearted praise? I've told the story many times of my law partner, Charlie Craze. When we'd go to church, I had to warn him. I'd say, now, Charlie, please remember, you got a gift for singing off key. He did. He would sing a perfect half key off, and it was terrible. Because he sang so loud, so hard, with such gusto, with such heart, that he'd get a whole part of the church off key in his key. And many times, Brother Galantine, I'd see the song leader stop and say, let's go to the key he's in. And the minute they did that, he went another half key off. It didn't fix anything. And I would say, Charlie, you're messing it all up. He said, I know. I don't mean to. But he said, I love to praise him. Do you love to praise him? Is that really all that thrills my soul is Jesus? Or is that just something you do because, well, you just can't sit here like a bump on a log? Did you sing with all your heart? An unbridled tongue. You'll get comfortable knowing the words, and you're saying the words because you know them, but there's nothing in the heart backing it up. Did you ever watch somebody sing the national anthem at a ball game or something just because they know the words? They mouth the words, but they don't mean the words. They're not even thinking about the words. They're just saying the words. Now, we do that with God. Oh, how I love Jesus. You know the words. The tongue isn't bridled. The mind's not connected. One of the things that happened in one of our lawsuits that helped me a great deal was a very, very learned professor came up to me. He had 7 earned PhDs. And he said, the problem is we live in a visual age. He said, before there were TVs and all these things, people had to manufacture the images in their own mind. Now they don't. So they got used to saying the words, but they see nothing. And he says, God created you with the ability to image what you're saying and image what you're singing. And he said, the problem is they got to turn on the picture machine or they're not praising him at all. What a statement. How many times did I just sing the words? The tongue wasn't bridled. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Dr. Chappell and I were in China together, and we were invited to go to an illegal Chinese home church. They said, "Now, it's very dangerous." They said, "If they catch you going to this church, they'll put you in jail for a couple of days up to a week, and then they'll export you right out of the country. But they said, if they catch you there, they'll catch the people there, and they kill them." These people face being put to death for going to church. Now, you understand, no one had that threat this morning, praise the Lord. We just walked in here because of liberty. We walked through all kinds of basements, down through a bunch of buildings. It took us forever to get there. Finally, we came up in a basement, and here were 60-some Christians facing death for being there. They were so thrilled that we were there. A young lady, a teenager, came up to me. Beautiful, beautiful girl. And she said, "I'm going to sing before you preach tonight, Brother Gibbs." I said, "That's great." She said, "Could I ask a favor?" I said, "Sure, what?" She said, "Could I sing twice?" I said, "You want to sing twice?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "Sure, sing as much as you want." She said, "Oh, thank you, thank you." And she walked away. The pastor came up to me and said, "Let me explain that. Brother Gibbs, a year ago, they caught her father going to church. They tortured him for a month to give up the names and locations, but he wouldn't do it. And they killed him. Then they dumped his mutilated body on their lawn. They kept going to church. A month ago, they caught her brother and her mother. They tortured them. They wouldn't give up. They refused to tell them the location or the names, and they killed them. She knows they're tracking her. She thinks this might be her last service. So it'd be the last time she gets to sing. So she wants to sing twice. That's why she's asking you for that. This could be the last church service she ever gets to sing in. Oh, I felt that tall. I wonder if you sang with all your heart. Did you really praise him and stand in front of him with a bridled tongue, saying, "You gave me this tongue, but you didn't give it to me just to use it how I want to use it. In fact, you said I'm a fake if I don't have a bridled tongue. And I can't control it. No man can, but you can. Put a bridle on my tongue." When that little girl sang, you know the first song she sang? "I got the joy, joy, joy down in my heart." A Sunday school song. If you thought it was your last one, and you know if they catch you, they're going to do mean things to you, would you have the joy, joy, joy down in your heart? Down in your heart to stay. That's what a bridled tongue is all about. We get the privilege of showing this world, not just America, but this world, what God can do. Bridle the tongue. This morning, on this wonderful anniversary celebration, we get the total privilege of saying, "Lord, I'm heaven bound. But I want my faith to be vain, worthless. I want my faith to be real. Here's my tongue, bridle it. Bridle it. Take it, it's yours. And with it, I'm done. I want my speech to be always with grace. I don't want one ungracious word to come out of this mouth. Doesn't matter what someone else says or what someone else does. I'm not in charge of that, but I'm totally in charge of this. God, bridle it. And by your grace, I'm done griping. No more murmuring. Absolutely none. Don't let me murmur just with my mouth, with my face, because before it ever comes out here, it's all in here. God, I'm done griping and complaining. No more debates. And God, by your grace, I'm going to sing with all my heart. When I praise you, I am going to praise you. Have you ever seen a husband, and I'll use that as an example. The wife says, "Do you love me?" And he says, "Yeah, I love you." "Oh," she said, "but you don't hardly ever say, 'No, I love you.' How many times do I have to say, 'I love you'?" You know what the problem is? He's not saying it with his heart. That's not how you said it at one time. That's not how you said it when you held that new grandbaby. You said, "Oh, I love you. I love you." There was something there. God says, "I want to bridle this so there's something there. Because you're talking to me." Bridle the tongue.